June 20, 2019, it's a Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Okay, Watch for Pizza Show. Brother Matt,
yeah.
Good to see you on this.
Yes, back at you.
June Gloons.
So is this Solstice Day or tomorrow? Tomorrow, longest day? Today, summertime?
It's 21 usually. Right?
Yeah, so they were 20 then.
So were they on the eve of the summer solstice? They get shorter after this, brother man.
Start getting the pagan on.
And you know, it's been burning off 1, 2, 3 in the afternoon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it ain't happening yet.
Yeah, I know. So maybe that'll change with the solstice.
Let's hope. I'm ready.
We started with Dr. Jackal, John Coltrane, Miles Davis. And then, it's not just both of you, or both of us, brother.
It's two of me.
At the Love Travel here on the Pleasure Point. We're joined by Richard X. Heyman.
Welcome.
Out of Manhattan.
Welcome.
Through the wonders of Skype and those Estonian software programmers. Man. Welcome aboard, Richard.
Hey, good to be here.
Yep, we played from your new record, Compass.
Well, that's from one doc. That's from an earlier one.
Okay, you're going to have to school us with your fucking chronology because I made it. I'm so sorry. I mean, you go way back. Now, I'm born in 1957. I think you're 1951.
Yep. Yeah, you got it.
Okay. And
you're at the tail end of the baby boomers.
I'm on the tail end. You're right. I'm the tail end of a lot of shit. Also the year because I'm Sag, right? In fact, I'm the last. I'm by the shortest day, Brother Matt.
Oh yeah, the opposite end of it.
Right. The yin of the yang. The yang of the yin. So, Richard, you going back that far, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Well, I was about 5 years old.
Yeah.
I started pestering my parents to get me a drum set.
Oh.
I knew that I was supposed to play the drums. I don't know why. I must have seen them somewhere on a TV show or something, and they wouldn't get me a drum set at 5 years old. They got me a little bongo drum.
Bongo. Not even bongos, just bongo.
And then they built up to timbales, and then when I was 7, they got me a set of Kent drums.
Whoa. Now, what town was this?
This was in Plainfield, New Jersey.
Plainfield. Okay.
So
I've always been, if you look at New Jersey, it's kind of a California miniaturized, flipped around the other direction.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Yeah, they got the beaches there too.
But I was just going to say that. There's a lot of nature. People don't know because they're looking from New York City and seeing Newark. They don't know.
Yeah, you know, growing up, I was always wondering why they call it the Garden State. Because I didn't see any gardens, but
sure.
The first time I flew in an airplane from Newark Airport, I looked down and it was all farmland. I couldn't believe it. Most of the state is farmland. You just don't know until you're there.
Garden State.
I remember playing, one of the only frat houses I've ever played in my life was the Princeton one. And coming upon this New Jersey invention called the jug handle.
Yeah.
So making left-hand turns. You actually make a starboard on the other
street. Yeah.
Yeah, you make this
trippy
jug. Yeah. Anyway, very interesting.
Just seems wrong.
And like Oregon, you can't pump your own gas.
Make jobs.
Yeah, that's right. Well, maybe some dudes were like dudes on fire. So you went from playing the bongo to the which is kind of hands, to timbales. That's when you first got some sticks?
Yeah.
And then you graduate to a trap kit.
Yeah, I sat down when I was 7 years old. I could barely reach the pedal, but I knew how to play.
And now, where did you do your playing? In the bedroom or in the garage?
No, in the living room. We had a set
in the living room, yeah.
And I listened to a lot of, like, jazz. I was playing along with Gene Krupa and all that stuff. And
whoa. Because I was going to ask, was any of your parents players?
My father played a little bit of trumpet.
Okay.
But, you know, we mainly had, like, big band jazz stuff in the house. That's what I played. And then I started to get into the ventures.
Okay.
Cool.
And what about at school? Did you do any of the drum stuff in school or choir or marching band or shit like that?
I did all that stuff. I was in the marching band. I was in chorus and choir.
And what did you do, drums, field drum or something, marching?
Yeah, I know. Okay. I was the snare drum.
So you know how to do the traditional grip and
Yeah, I'm all traditional grip.
Okay, yeah. No Flintstone. No Bam Bam.
I mean, I play both.
Neanderthal. Yeah, what's the other one called? Match Grip?
Match Grip, yeah.
It's actually Thug. Neanderthal. Yeah. So, sometimes they have you play a trap set in the band, right? For like the jazz band or?
Yeah, they had that too.
And you did also?
I did a little bit of that, yeah.
And did you like it?
Well, it was sort of an education. It was kind of like learning the fundamentals and all that.
Sure, what do they call it, rudiment?
Rudiments, fundamentals, music in general.
Yeah, I was reading about Billy Cobham talking about that drum corps shit in New York City. And they would crack on paradiddles, holding a quarter on the bulkhead, you know, yeah. And then they get down to dimes.
Wow.
Like, you look at Billy Cobham drumhead, and there's one dimple in the middle. This guy. Like precision rock, right? Okay. I'm curious, what about after school with the bedroom band or the garage or basement band? Did you do that stuff with some buddies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Starting in 1964, started my first band with a friend of mine, Mike Caruso. He was playing guitar. He ended up being the bass player. Nobody knew what a bass was back then.
Okay.
I had to ask people what a bass was. I didn't understand.
No, I didn't fucking know either when D. Boone's mom put me on. I had no idea. I thought it was a guitar with four strings.
Yeah, somebody was explaining it's like a guitar tuned lower, and I didn't understand, but... He eventually got a bass, and we put together a band.
What'd you call it, Richard?
We were the Doughboys.
Ah, the Doughboys. You know, later on in the, only about 20, 25, in the 90s, there was the Doughboys from Canada.
Yeah, that's a different band.
These dudes weren't even born. I mean, they're way younger than me, you know. They're kind of like a Descendants. There was this period in the early 90s where there was a lot of bands copying the Descendants.
And right.
I'm not saying, I shouldn't have said copy, but they kind of sound familiar. And, yeah, they were one of them. I remember playing some gigs. But you guys are the Doughboys that go way back. Okay.
Yeah, we put out a couple singles in 66, 67.
Sure. Wow. And that's one of the first bands you put together, Richard.
Yeah, that's the first one, and we're still playing around today.
Right.
Wow.
With Michael?
Yeah, with Mike Caruso on bass. The original guitar player, he died, but we've got a new guy that grew up in the same town.
Plainfield?
This is Plainfield, New Jersey, and then Mike Scavone on lead vocal and harmonica.
Wow.
So we're basically like a time machine.
That's so fucking great. Here, I want to play Hope.
Grab it while you drive.
two things weren't totally connected, how would you feel about me spending time in your house with a group of experienced builders? He was the foreman, volunteer, he heard Rolling Stones, coat of arms, tongue and lips, Facebook relative, tired, walks past, fit for work, irate, about counter-protests. Most pop stars are as bent as a 9-bar note. How much do you pull down? How much do you pull down? He wants to have a rummage around people's attics. How much do you pull down? How much do you pull down? A lot of people just ditch it. A lot of people just ditch it. After Christmas, a lot of people just ditch it. After Christmas, decorations, trees, a lot, or just dumping it in a charity shop. It turns out the foreman was right. People like you aren't to be till trained because you've stolen from us in the past. The foreman was wrestling with the window display. He was struggling with the nipple of a balloon. He'd been given over the entire window display to cater to an imagined emotion. The hand, and if it's there, will I be there?
Don't it seem like it's my desire?
For Pedro Show, that was Hope, Richard X. Heyman. What's X stand for?
That's all there is. It's on my birth certificate.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's my real name.
Why should they be? Yeah. Stupid me. In fact, you should don't even need a period. Then we had the pheromones, but like moan. They're out of England with the hand. And Red Party out of Chicago with Chicago. Guided by Voices. Vertiginous Raft. Bob Pollard. Working on his 105th record.
Yeah.
He's going to do a 100 song gig at the Roxy for New Year's.
Wow.
Yeah. Mini Beast. We had Peter on last week. Peter Prescott. Crowd Pleasure. And Mesthetics. No, Mesthetics. That's Joe Lally. He's back. He's living in Rome for so long. Now he's back in the U.S. and he's got a band with Brendan. And he did something with Ian and Amy, too. But he said he'll get that to me. Mike Baghetta with V from his Cantos album. Chris Chappelle's Distortion Pedal, Sea Change. And finally, Firing Line from Richard X. Heyman. So, okay, in between you getting that Doughboys together way back when you're like teenager.
Yeah.
To nowadays. There must have been several music journeys.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about, like, coming out of high school. Did you go to college or shit like that?
Yeah, I went to Rutgers University.
Whoa.
Jersey.
Great. I got a book by a professor there on John Coltrane. He's Lewis Porter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
oh,
Lewis cool. Porter's got a great book on John Coltrane.
First time I ever heard Coltrane was at Rutgers. We had this jazz, like, appreciation kind of course. And it's this guy that played flute from Washington, D.C. He used to come up to, he was a professor, but he played jazz flute. Pretty, Charles Lloyd, maybe, or, you know, can't think of his name.
Well, you know, a famous guy from those days was Yusef Lateef, but he's in Connecticut.
And that wasn't him, but it's a black guy. Anyway, he was really a good professor, and he sat us down and played Africa by John Coltrane.
John Coltrane,
and
I
was blown away.
Yeah, there's something about the flute, and it's a trip. Vince Moroney's good on it.
Yeah, man.
He's got a cat here in Echo Park.
He's a talented dude. Well.
But you know about the famous Buddy Rich tapes, right? In the bus.
Yeah.
He goes, there's no sound in flutes. And I thought that was so intense, I put it in my fucking third opera. So would you say it was an asset going to Rutgers and learning music at college?
Well, I was just kind of doing what everybody was supposed to do, and then I realized I didn't really want to be there, so I just took off and started this so-called career.
Right. Which is what, like touring?
Yeah, I played with Link Wray. I don't know if
you know. Oh, cool, yeah. Rump.
Well, not anymore. He's not around anymore. But
yeah, he's not around, but this was in the 70s.
Dude, let me tell you about Lynn Greenwood. Ig told me. Ig told me that's what made him want to play drums. When he heard Rumble.
Yeah, well,
his name actually comes from this band Iguanas, and he played drums for them. And he said what made him want to get on drums was hearing fucking Rumble. He said the first album he bought himself was Johnny and the Hurricanes. Mm. But he said the thing that made him want to play drums was Rumble, but fucking Lynn.
Lynn told me when he met John Lennon, he came up to him and threw his arms around Link and said, you're the reason I learned the guitar.
Fuck.
So that's pretty cool.
The guy has big impact.
Yeah,
on
man. At that time, to hear that must have been just mind-blowing. Nothing like that existed yet.
College, and there was an ad in the Washington Post. I didn't know who it was. I went, showed up. It was Link Wright.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I got the gig as his drummer for a while. So I was
awesome.
Touring around with him, and that was an eventful period.
Well, that's probably your first time touring around, right?
Dope Boys played kind of around the tri-state area, but never...
You guys extended. Were more of a regional thing, yeah. But a lot of gigs in those three states, I mean, geez.
Yeah, we played a lot.
Within 100 miles, right? There's Philly, there's the New York City, there's a lot of stuff.
There used to be a station in New York City called WMCA.
Yeah.
And they were like the other big station was WABC. And then you had Murray the K was on, I don't know. But anyway, we used to do the WMCA Good Guy shows. Every weekend we would be playing with everybody that was on the charts. You name it.
Oh, wow. So getting on the radio was important then. So you guys must have started recording early, right?
Well, we got a record deal in 66 with Bell Records, which was kind of considered a major label at the time. They had some established acts, and we put out a single. And the only reason we really got airplay on MCA is we were doing these promotional shows for them, so they, as a trade-off, would play our records, and we put a second single out. This is about 67. So, yeah, we were recording, playing a lot of gigs, but we were all kids.
Yeah. So, did you have the, kind of familiar story of the bad manager?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a couple of them.
Okay. Why did that happen so much in those days?
Really, you get these kind of narcissistic kind of personalities sometimes that want to get into that role.
Yeah.
It just doesn't go well with, 14, 15-year-old kids.
No.
Feed off the dreams.
Who was those cats in Memphis? Letterman. No, Box Top. Mm.
Yeah.
Right? Alex Chilton.
Big star.
And these guys were like 15 years old.
Yeah.
And they ended up making nothing.
Mm.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah, they went on to be big star later on.
Well, he did, yeah.
Yeah, and, he ended up in New Orleans. I think bad teeth killed him.
Mm.
An abscess or something. Yeah, because I did some tour with Tab Falco, and he spent a lot of time. Because you don't usually hear those kind of stories. Maybe people learned, or maybe it's just different days now. But
it was so different back then.
Because you say MCA, there's a book called Hitman, right? And I was just reading about, I think... In fact, Tommy James made a musical out of Roulette Records and the fucking, all this gangster shit.
Yeah, I read his book. It's pretty funny.
He said in some ways it was kind of good because they never told him what to play. Because basically he was working at the laundromat. They didn't give a fuck about coming out of the speakers.
We got our money laundered.
Yeah, right. Mr. Levy, I think his name is. Morris Levy. Interesting character. Never went to jail, though, I think.
Oh.
The cancer killed him, right?
Convenient.
At the sentencing. When did you get free of all that stuff? Did it end up breaking the Doughboys up?
Yeah, we split. Well, we were the house band at the Café Wa in the summer of 68. We played all summer long. And that was sort of the tail end of the Doughboys. And then what happened was for a big birthday many decades later. My wife called the members of the Doughboys and got them all to come into New York and do a surprise gig, and I just showed up, and there's a drum set waiting for me on stage, and we just started to play after about a 30-year break.
No practice or anything, just going.
No practice, yeah. And we got up and just started playing Route 66 and all the songs we used to do, all these Stones and Animals and Yardbirds. And
wow.
We've been together ever since. That was in 2000. So we've been together again for 19 years now.
And, you know, I should say, what about this song, Fire in Line, that I played? I mean, this is, yeah, tell me about this kind of music.
Well, you know, being a drummer, I never really got to get into the limelight, you know, when I finally was on my own, I kind of made a decision not to have a band because every band that I'd been in broke up, and I figured if I break up with myself, I'm in big trouble, so I just figured... Just do the solo thing, you know, by that time I was playing guitar and keyboards, so I could do that whole magical thing of overdubbing, you know, one-man band thing.
Wow.
That's basically been my modus operandi for my whole solo career, is just overdubbing all the parts. And
I'm curious, because, you know, Stevie Wonder did that for some records, like Inner
Vision. Oh, yeah, I know. Prince. I was definitely influenced by that, and McCartney, and
Prince.
Prince, Emmett Rhodes did it way back.
Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
And the one thing I know about Dave Grohl and Stevie Wonder is the first thing they record is the drums.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, you too. Okay, because I was going to
start with the. I learned that the hard way, because when I first started, I would put down either like a rhythm guitar or a keyboard and try to play drums to that, and I couldn't figure out why my timing was so bad, and I realized I couldn't keep time on the guitar like I do on the drums.
Sure.
And I was trying to play to the guitar, and it was like all over the place. So then I realized, okay, put the drums down as your foundation.
Yeah.
And that's how I've done it ever since, and it's the way to go.
And I'm curious, in the old days with the Doughboys, no click track, right?
No click track, no.
And what about these days? Do you use click track now?
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious.
You know, I started without it.
Yeah.
But again, the whole idea is you got to have this solid bottom end. And so why not know that it's, you know, really in time, because you're going to be putting all the other instruments to it.
Right. The other thing is like, oh, you guys are together, so you try to get a vibe. It's just a whole different thing.
I don't stay right with it. I just use it as a pulse.
Sure.
I know even Hal Blaine, I saw Hal Blaine, this famous session drummer, give a seminar, and he talked about how, you know, the click track is your friend. You know, you don't have to look at it as like this kind of enemy. It's like you just kind of play around it and you're it, use it as just a guide. That's what I do. I sometimes get ahead of it or behind it, but I know sort of where general pulse is.
Yeah. Hal Blaine. Okay. Yeah, no, there's a lot to learn from. I have to say, he was a little mean to Carole King. A little bit.
Yeah,
but I think they had a beef or something.
They had a big feud,
yeah. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, June 20, 2019 edition of Wap Peter Show. Brother Matt, special guest, Richard X. Heyman.
Yeah.
Hold tight for hour two. June 20, 2019, it's the second hour of Wap Peter Show.
Yeah. happy are they. I know the day will come when I will go. But I'm still here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Pedro Show started off the second hour with Action Screams Louder Than Words.
But the noise, the noise is louder than all of it.
Yeah. Fucking big old machines trump all that. So, it's kind of obvious what you were trying to say, but in your own words, Richard. You there?
Yeah, I lost you there for a second.
Okay, sorry. In your own words, action screams louder than words.
That's true.
So, when you're writing your songs, words come first or last?
Generally last.
You know,
it's like a homework assignment for me.
Yeah.
Music just kind of comes, but then it's, oh God, I got to write all these words to fill that in, and it's got to make sense, and you got to keep a rhyme scheme, and I wish it wasn't like that.
I'll tell you, when I'm writing songs, I have to start with the title, or I got no focus.
That's interesting. Yeah, well, I usually get the title pretty soon after the music, or sometimes with it.
You know, I was reading about Chico Hamilton. He couldn't get songwriting credits. Drummers can't write songs. Such bullshit. You know, it's really weird. The hierarchy that came to be in the music racket, you know. Then we had So What, If So, doing Still Here, The Healers with Home of Dog, Crane, Whimsical Days, Another Umbrella, late great Richard Derrick, Hero's Quest, Joe Baez with Felix Gebhardt doing Let's Pull Over and Have Some Party Time.
Yeah.
And finally, Everywhere She Goes, Richard X. Hayden. Maybe a love song?
Yep.
Maybe.
You mean, you already wrote the songs. You don't really have to talk about it if you don't want. Where'd you do this latest one? Home studio?
Yeah, right here where I'm sitting in the bedroom.
Nice.
Okay. For the drums, I got to go to a studio, obviously, because I can't do that.
Friendly confines.
So I just sit down at a kit. It was a Rogers four-piece kit.
Roger.
And blasted out drum tracks for about 12 hours straight.
Yeah.
And, you know, singing along each song, and then I take all that home, and then I put it in the Logic Pro here.
Yep.
Start putting stuff on. Yeah, the thing I do that's a little different than most people that do this is I put a scratch guitar or a keyboard, and then I just do all the vocals first, everything, backgrounds, harmonies, get that all done.
Yeah. Is that you doing all your harmonies?
Yeah.
Really good, Richard.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, respect. You know, I think that comes from those days. You know, they didn't have auto-tune. You had to learn how to do that shit. And really, respect. You got some skills. I mean,
thanks.
Pretty incredible. And trippy, too, that you come up with these tunes, and you got no one to bounce off of. Just yourself.
Well, I work with my wife here. She engineers, and she's more technically inclined than me, so it all works out. She keeps me honest, makes sure I'm getting a good take.
We should give her credit. What's her name?
That's Nancy.
Nancy, thank you. Thank you for helping Richard out with the music, because it's pretty bitchy.
That's some cool teamwork.
What's that?
Cool teamwork.
Yeah, cool teamwork, Brother Matt says.
Yeah. Thanks.
Speaking of teamwork, Brother Matt, Why don't you bring us some spin cycle?
Cool, get rid of one noise with another noise.
I looked and I heard something in the air, and I don't know why I mean, and I don't know why I care, but there's something down the way, so I'm going over there. Music flows to an open door, can't keep it closed, it's like from the ground, and it's lightning in the air. I can
Thank you. around the globe and back again. Corregidor in Sebastopol, Scobie in Wainwright, and HMS Prince of Wales. City Barani in the Irrawaddy, Archangel in Paderna, and the Macassar Strait. Black Happy, Radar, Spitfire, the Bazooka, and the Molotov cocktail. Vinecourt, Loeste, Dieppe, Ascension, the Gasserine Pass, and Bill 609. M1, Radio 88, APO 885, OSS, and Diggy G. Silver. The Crippled March, the Lido Roll, the Slap, the Hump, the Rebel Depot, the Piccadilly Commando, and the Beast called Nazio. The Memphis Belle, Geronimo, Wild Bull, the Fighting Lady, and the ceremonious feeling of Big Ben.
Western Europe. A land was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied Expeditionary Force. This landing is part of a concerted United Nations plan for the liberation of Europe, made in conjunction with our great Russian allies.
The liberation, like the message which signaled it, came in many tongues. The French of Charles de Gaulle.
La bataille suprême est engagée. Après tant de combats, de fureur, de douleur.
There were messages from the Dutch, the Danes, the Luxembourgers, and the Belgians.
Mes chers compatriotes, les opérations préliminaires pour la libération de l'Europe ont commencé.
I call upon all the lovely ambassadors now to get some champagne drinks.
One of these originated on the headquarters ship Anton, just off the French coast. Your reporter, George Hicks of the ABC.
Nothing to say. I'm ready to die. Kicking in the air.
Made you do what you just did to us with your spin cycles?
I would say a knucklehead defiance from the dudes of New Alliance. Mighty Feeble there found a
mighty
old pressing
from 1983.
Yeah,
the one requirement, it had to be done on a cassette player.
Oh, cool. Cool criteria.
Yeah, no studios involved.
And also had some snore and some pull anchors, right, some new meat puppets.
Out of Florida. I got to do Florida the next tour around. Sorry this time.
Hey, Anthony.
Yeah, good guys. Playing at Jack Rabbit's, Jacksonville Beach. And who else were you saying?
Pull anchor.
Right, Larry and his son. Lee.
Yeah, the Grants Pass Joshua Tree
right,
Connection.
Southern Oregon Connection. Richard, you still there with us?
I'm here.
You know, you told us when you were younger that you listened to Gene Krupa.
Uh-huh.
But was there other drummers as you were coming up that really influenced you?
Well, I had all the jazz guys, Elvin Jones. And
yeah.
Buddy Rich, of course.
I seen Elvin Jones play maybe 15, 18 times because he'd, you know, he lived in Nagasaki with Keiko, and so the first gigs with the jazz machine would be here. You'd have these young guys with big, thick iron-ons. Of course, he wasn't wearing it, but they were. And you could tell the tour was just beginning because the iron-on was really thick. But it was incredible. I mean, you could be sitting a couple tables away, it'd be all your gig. He's something else. Perkins got a poster signed for me. A Zildjian poster. Of an incredible cat. You know, there's a video called A Different Drummer on YouTube.com. It's only about 25 minutes long, but it's bitching. You should check it out. He talks about how when he's playing the drums, they're in different colors, so he's kind of painting. Yeah. What about in rock and roll days?
I started with the Ventures, who were like kind of instrumental, kind of surfy, kind of.
Actually, there was a guy here. His father took over the drums from the original guy in that band, Joe Barilli.
Yeah.
Isn't that trippy?
Yeah.
But anyway, from the Ventures. So, in the drummer, that was really important stuff in that band. What did you call it this, in New Jersey? Did you call it the surf beat?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, you know, you had to learn that stuff. That was all everybody played was instrumental. Kind of,
and the surf thing was kind of doubling up every other thing on the snare, right? Bop, 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 or bop, 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 bop. And I remember at lunchtime, everybody do Wipeout with their knuckles on the bench. Bullet, 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 bullet. Right? The only time you played toms in a surf band.
But you had to know that stuff. And then you had, of course, the British Invasion thing started
up. I was going to ask you, what about somebody like Mitch Mitchell or Keith Moon, some crazy ass shit?
Yeah, I would say Mitch Mitchell's probably my biggest influence in that whole rock thing.
Because he put in a lot of jazz hits, right?
He had a lot of Elvin Jones in him. And, it was all mixed in there with his just natural ability. And I thought he was just the perfect drummer for Hendrix. A lot of people disagree, but I thought he was great.
No, I thought he was. I like the Band of Gypsy, Billy Cox. Billy Cox on the bass, but the drummer man, he also sang too, right?
Buddy Miles.
Buddy Miles. Changes. Electric Flag. That was his
style,
But something like Mitch Mitchell, I mean, a song like Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire. I mean, I'm going to show you everything I know in one song.
Yeah, you're right.
That's all I know how to play.
Turn it loose.
I do this, I do that, I do this. Pretty incredible. Pretty incredible.
But he had a groove that was...
Yeah, absolutely. Really cool. And a persona, too, which I think is important.
Yeah, and there was a guy named B.J. Wilson in Procol Harum.
Sure, sure. I remember that cat.
That was a good drummer. And of course, the guy, you know, Ringo and Charlie Watts were just good rocking solid grooves.
Ginger Baker.
Yeah, Charlie Watts. I'm thinking Ginger Baker, strange drum. No real backbeat, all stomps. Really strange kind of drumming.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciated Ginger, but I kind of was more into the Mitch Mitchell. And then just for total flamboyancy, you got to go with Keith Moon.
Yeah, Keith Moon, yeah. Something about him. A lot of persona. A lot of fire.
Yeah, and again, you know, you listen to those records, and in a strange way, they still have a groove to them that you can't get away from. So
and
even
I think,
though he's going nuts the whole time, it's still
well,
in the pocket.
I think where Keith Moon was kind of lucky, John Entwistle's timing was pretty good.
Yeah.
In fact...
But you can't fake the drums, I mean...
No, but you know what I mean? I think it's good that I'm saying Keith being a little out of time ain't that bad, because he's so kinetic. And then he had Mr. Entwistle there to hold the...
Keep it down.
Like you said, the way you use Click Track, you check in every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just old enough to see all that stuff live. I saw the Who many times. I saw the Stones and the Beatles and all these groups live.
Wow.
Saw the Dave Clark Five. I mean, all those bands that were coming over, I got to see, and you know, it was quite a learning experience.
Yeah, and the drums were important in Dave Clark Five. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of controversy whether he played on the record.
Yeah,
know.
Right, I know.
But I saw him at Carnegie Hall, and they rocked out.
And he was playing, right?
Yeah, he was playing.
Okay. Yeah, Brother Stooges, with the Stooges, told me a lot of stories about those guys.
But one of the best shows I ever saw was Jimi Hendrix Experience at Hunter College. It was right when it was between the two albums. Between the first two albums, Axis was just coming out, and that blew me away.
Wow. I wish I could have.
Yeah, done. Man.
Wow. We're at the end of the second hour here, June 20, 2019 edition of People Show. Special guest, Richard X. Heyman. Hold tight for hour three.
It's already the amplifier. It's the speaker. Why would you put a mic up?
Yeah. And then Ringo Power in Shea Stadium.
Yeah.
June 20th, 2019, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Every time I trip down toward the path, and the giant never cares, won't be goodbye. Guess you had to be there. I don't need to disappear or dwell in the world and from the world again and again. Nostalgia is way down a memory lane where I visit in the rain now and then. Well, the world around me can
you had to be there. Guess you had to be there. Guess you had to be
the best of the day.
got in there. It was, they were for real, those guitar players.
Yeah, yeah.
Billy Fika on drums. He was
Billy
he was,
Fika, right.
Yeah,
he I was think good. He was from Delaware with Tom Miller, Tom Verlaine, and they kind of were packaged. And Richard Hell was telling me he got sent to reform school, and that's where he met him, and they all ran away to New York City. We start off the third hour with Guess You Had to Be There. It's just great because talking to Richard about the older people. Richard saw the Beatles three times.
Man.
That's all done.
Ah, damn. The Stones, all that stuff. Jimmy, how many times did you see Jimmy?
I saw Hendrix three times.
Jimmy damn. Three times. The best was Between the Axes.
Yeah, that first one, that was like, I guess, 68. It was pretty amazing.
Did you see Band of Gypsies?
I did, yeah, at the Fillmore.
Yeah, I think the album's the second set, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't want to be climbing that. Don't shoot him down. Now, Father Figures out of Arizona with Nigerian Prince Charming. Coat Hangers after that. Adderall Live. Bodegas with Burnt. And Long Way Down. Richard X. Heyman. Long Way Down. What were you thinking of?
That was a song that I had written for the Doughboys, actually. They recorded it a few albums back, and I just wanted to try my own version of a few of those songs because that band is more kind of toward the Stones, Yardbirds side of rock.
Yeah, right, right.
So I had to learn how to write like that because it's just not a natural thing for me. I write more kind of like a melodic pop style. So it was like a challenge, and I wrote these songs for them that were kind of toward that side. But I just wanted to try it myself and see what would come out. And so I did my version of a bunch of those Doughboy songs.
I'm curious, what did the guys think?
I'm not sure. I don't know. They play it close to the vest.
Okay. Reinterpretation. So
I think they dug it.
Do you play these tunes without the Doughboys? Do you have just a Richard Heyman incarnation?
Every now and then I'll get together a band. I have a couple people that I play with. My wife plays bass, excellent bass player.
Ah, respect.
And she is playing bass on a lot of the new album. I really handed it over to her for not all of it, but for a large portion of the new album, Pop Circles. She's on bass.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's got one of those Hofner single cutaway basses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sort of like a...
looks like a Les Paul shape, but it's a Hofner.
But still like 5 pounds, really light. And
yeah, it's like balsa wood or something.
Right, and they play it in their hollow body, and they play the these really thin flat wounds.
It's got a good recording sound.
Yeah, I was going to say, they got their own sound, those basses.
And I was experimenting on this album, trying to get like a James Jamerson approach to the bass, which is a certain funk pattern that he... syncopation.
He played with one finger.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So to do that, the drums had to put a little syncopation, which I normally wouldn't do in the past, but I just wanted to try it. So a lot of these pop songs are slightly syncopated so that the bass could do that James Jamerson thing.
Yeah, I think his name was Benny Benjamin.
And
there was kind of a hole in the cardboard, and he could look over at James. I mean, Hitsville is like a little tiny house, right?
Right, I know.
Incredible. And I think he went right into the desk.
Well, I got to give a shout out to, on YouTube, there's a thing called My Extended Version.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're familiar with those, but this guy remixed all the Motown stuff, and you can hear isolated bass and drums, and he does this beautiful job of everything you want to ever hear, Bernadette.
Wow.
A
lot of that was four-track.
Yeah, nobody knows how he gets all these sources. He's got really just first-generation sounding, beautiful, isolated bass tracks, vocal tracks. Whoa. And it's every Motown song.
I have heard What's Going On, but that's way down the road with, you know, like a 24 or 16-track machine. I've heard that isolated. Incredible.
Yeah, well, when Motown went out to California.
Right, right. And I think actually James is was too borracho. He was on his back. He had us found him in some bar. Here, I want to play Route 22, not Route 66.
Sometimes when my guard is down and I find myself in my old town, I always think of you on Route 22. We take it up to Route 19 through the Holland Tunnel past the New York line, and I always think of you on Route 22. Yeah.
Thank you. Who is the Father of
Watt for Pedro show, the last music for this show, Route 22, Richard X. Heyman. That's a road in New Jersey that circumvents a state. And in Spain, Josh Hayden with World of Blue live at the Love Song downtown by the region. I played there a couple weeks ago. What did I do with him? Jump into the Fire, Harry Nilsson. And Everyday People, Sly Stone.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. One note. It's one part. It's Larry Graham kind of invented that thumb thing, right? And he's just boom, 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 boom. And Larry goes, the yellow one.
I got a funny story about Sly and the Family Stone, if you got a minute. Yeah, it was in the 70s when they were at the height of their fame, and this band called the Quinn Ames Band was booked to open up for them on a tour. They were signed to Elektra Records, and the day their album was released, they broke up. Nobody wanted to see each other. Nobody wanted to do the tour. So I got a call, would I be in this fake Quinn Ames Band? They said, the first gig is in 2 days at Madison Square Garden opening for...
Oh, man, opening for Sly Stone.
And we toured with them, and it was just this thrown-together band. We did one rehearsal.
Jesus
Christ. It was crazy, and Sly was amazing, and, you know, the bass, like you said, that bass player was just...
Larry Graham.
The whole place was shaking. I mean, building was literally moving.
Wow. Did you hang with Sly much?
No. They came in like about an hour and a half late every show. every show would be a near riot because people were just getting so
wet, pissed away. I think they just lost their drummer. They had this Italian guy playing drums a long time.
Yeah,
he was great. They had a sister on trumpet. I mean, Family Stone was a trippy band, man. But there's some great albums. Ride going on. Oh my God.
Yeah, I got to hear him night after night, and it was pretty strong.
Yeah, I can imagine, Richard. Where can people find you on the internet, Richard?
Go to richardxhayman.com. Got my website.
People, that's IRCHARDXHEYMEN.
It's like, hey man.
No, MAN, I'm sorry, .com.
And they can purchase my albums there and all that other stuff. Or they can go get it on Amazon, CD Baby, wherever they want.
What's in the future for you?
Well, the Doughboys are just about to release, I think it's their fifth or sixth album that we've done since we reunited in 2000.
Yeah.
And it's an album of cover songs, which we wanted to do for a long time. So it's all these, a lot of them are obscure.
Yeah, I'm curious. What era?
We did some real unexpected stuff. We do Moanin' by Lambert, Hendricks, and Ross.
Oh, whoa.
You know, we did a Mose Allison song called Your Mind Is on Vacation.
Love Mose. Parchment.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did some expected stuff. We did a re-version of 96 Tears.
Yeah, question cool. mark. I got question to meet him.
We gigged with him back in about 67.
Wow. What do you call him? He says, yeah, Mike, we're Michigan Mexicans. That's what he told me.
Just remember they pulled up to the gig, no equipment, they just had their guitars and the keyboard, and they just expected to use all our backline. what were we supposed to do? We opened for them, but we had to stick around. And then when they were done, I'll never forget, they never thanked us.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
They were good.
Let me thank you for that. Okay. Look, let me ask you this. If there was somebody younger trying to get in this racket and asking you for advice, what would you tell them?
Well, one bit of advice that somebody once asked Keith Moon, what do you recommend to a young drummer? And he said, learn the guitar. So that's one bit of advice.
I think on the Ed Sullivan show, he said, yeah, my friends call me Keith, but you can call me Bill or something.
Oh, that's Smothers Brothers.
Ah, it's Smothers Brothers, that's right. He said to Tommy Smothers. Right?
Yeah. But I'm the wrong person to ask because I grew up in that whole other era where they still had that dream of the major label deal and try to make a lot of money, and now I don't know what's going on. It's a whole different industry.
Yeah.
Much left of it. And I don't even think about doing it for the money anymore. It's all just for the music.
So that's what you tell a young person. Do it for not the money.
You know, if you can make money, God bless you. But, you know, if you, I always feel if you put something good out in the world, good things happen.
That's great. I love that. And it's been a big honor to have you aboard, Richard. Thank you so much.
Yeah, very cool.
Brother Matt, thank you for your always assistance.
Certainly, always.
I mean, really, Richard, you keep on keeping on. And after you make this Doughboy cover record, are you going to make another Richard Heyman, ex-Heyman record?
Yeah, I'll make at least one more.
Cool.
Yeah, please.
Very cool.
Because I think what you're doing is bitching.
Oh, cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Big love. Big
respect.
And
I'm a big fan of yours as well.
Okay, right back. That's very kind.
Yeah, great
guy.
You're
not Eskimo. I'll say it right now.
It's June 20th. 2019 Dishwap Fever Show, people, keep your powder dry.
Yeah.